Let's turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans 13. Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger, who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. Wherefore it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you should not covet, and if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in the saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. And this do, knowing the time that is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now, salvation is nearer to us than when we believe. The night is almost gone, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore lay aside the deeds of darkness, and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. Amen. And so, we shared yesterday, from 12 to about in mid-15, Paul is now talking about our justification, our righteousness, right, through faith. But that righteousness by which we live has fruits to bear, and part of the fruit is the way we live our life. It's our attitudes, it's our actions, and so he spends quite a bit of time in chapter 12, and then he continues that thought on in chapter 13. And his first part, he says, let every person, the word is actually every soul, right? Let every soul, it's not just who you are physically, but your very being, in a sense that, with all of your heart, be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. And so, the Lord is saying, make sure that we are in proper alignment, with all the authorities that, are present before us. And the reason why we do that is because God is the one who put them in that place of authority, right? There is no authority outside of God, all right? And so he makes it very, very clear that, if someone is in a political office, or someone has authority in the workplace or whatever it may be, Paul is saying that it's not by any kind of accident. Right, this is the Lord. Right, this is God's doing. And part of how God operates in that is good and bad. In the sense that it trains us. It trains us to obedience. It trains us. To die to ourselves. Obviously, if it's a good leader, an authority, then it's obviously good for us. It's good for everybody. But what if the leader is not so good? Am I still to be subject to them? And in Paul's economy, he says yes, right? Because it does something to us. It trains us, right? That authority or the obedience that flows from that authority, or to that authority, he says, the word he says it's a minister of God. It's a servant. It is a tool that God uses to minister to us, to change us, to do something in our life, right? And so, this is probably like... I would say this, quite honestly, probably the most difficult times that I've had as a leader, was primarily because of people, not that they were evil or anything, but it's because people had issues with authority, and it's not like they didn't really have issues with me per se as a person, but they just had an issue with authority. It could have been, their school teacher, could have been policemen, politicians, their bosses, but whoever had authority, you know, people had this kind of issue, right? Such an unwillingness to submit. So it didn't matter who it was, what they did. You know, it's just something that's there. You know, and I know a lot of people in Solomon's porch deal with that regularly. You know, there's something, you know, I mean, you know, I'll say something quite demonic, you know, about people's attitudes, you know, and things in terms of this whole idea of authority, right? And if anyone's ever talked to you or mentioned, hey, I think you have some issues with authority, it's probably really good to really explore that, you know, sign up for Cascade or do something, because that could really be your demise. You know, and especially, you know, if you purport to be a leader yourself, if you go through, like, you study church splits, or, you know, you study different kind of work dynamics and whatnot, you know, you'll find that, you know, one of the major elements, you know, in terms of the personality of people that are divisive and whatnot is this issue of authority. You know, that Paul is talking about. It's a huge thing, you know, and you know, it's too bad that not more is written in the scriptures, you know, relating to this. You know, it's in kind of Old Testament language. That's, if you've ever heard the phrase the Jezebel spirit, you know, that's what it kind of refers to, right? It's the spirit to manipulate, you know, and to always, you know, try to come on top and to usurp, you know, any kind of authority. You know, Jezebel usurped, you know, first of all, try to usurp the prophet's authority, you know, and she had them all killed, you know, and then, you know, try to usurp even her husband's authority, right? And so it was known as a Jezebel spirit. And it's not just referring to women, right? And so it's, you know, and so it's a huge thing. And Paul is laying out, you know, again, right, really, really radical kind of ideas that we talked about yesterday. And he's saying, you know, all these officials, you know, government, you know, people that are authority, God placed them there, right? And you can imagine being a first century Christian living in Rome, and you know, you're thinking, what? Because in their mindset, right, God was good, and, you know, the government and everything else was evil, right? It was, they wanted heaven on earth, and so it was a total two different dichotomies at work, and Paul is saying, no, God put them there. You know, he's the one who placed, right? There is no authority, right, except from God. You know, or the word is except by God, and those which exist are established by God. You know, and so he's the one who does. And so ultimately, you're not obeying those leaders, right, the people in authority. You're obeying God, you know, which is a huge, huge point. You know, and so he says, and so when you do good, you know, or your behavior is changed or whatnot, you know, the point, you know, of this whole thing is, you know, let it not be by fear. He says, just do good and you'll be praised. You know, don't let the fear of, you know, punishment or whatnot be what controls us, right? And we don't want to operate like that. That's just behavior modification, right? You just modify, that doesn't go that far. Right, but he's talking about an inner transformation that occurs. He says, just do good. Don't be motivated by the fear. You know, don't be motivated by getting caught, you know, with the laws or whatnot. You know, be motivated by doing good. You know, and in so doing that good, right, there will be praise. And so, you know, he says, you know, be in subjection, right? Let me clarify this in verse 5. Wherefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. You know, and so this is our inner being that's at work, because this is in a relation to God. You know, very, very much in the same way, right? You know, Jesus will talk about, you know, and later in Paul himself will say, hey, it's pretty tough to say that you love God, but you don't love your brother. You know, it kind of goes in the same way, right? And it's hard to, you know, be in subjection to authority, you know, when you say, or not be in that place, and you say you love God, because in Paul's economy, it's the same thing, right? Because God put them in authority, so it's coming under God's authority in that way. But then we'll say, well, what if the authority is evil? You know, what if it's just so ungodly, right? And I think the advice is, you know, or the good news is that you continue the best that you can to be in subjection, and God will remove. You know, God will remove, right? And so, you know, like we've been praying for North Korea, you know, for, you know, all these years. I don't know how long I've been praying personally, right? And, you know, we can see the evil of the regime and all these things. I think God will remove. You know, it's on his agenda. It's in his radar, right? He will take care of it. And if you look throughout history, you know, at, you know, what we call evil regimes or whatnot, you know, God always took care of the remnant, you know, that was there, right? People that were faithful, you know, to him. And God, he always took care. You know, if you read stories, you know, about, we're talking about North Korea and whatnot. And there's this, you know, just vibrant group of believers in the country, outside of the country, that just go back and forth, you know? And you wonder, why would someone who's tasted freedom, why would they risk their life to go back in, right? It's because God is working. He takes care of his remnant, you know? And I have no doubt that, right, that God will remove leaders and establish godly leaders, you know, in that place. And then he continues on, right? So he talks about the government, be subject to government and authorities and rulers, right? And then he, from verse 8, he continues on, right? He says, don't owe anything to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. You know, it goes into the commandments, you know, talks about all these things, you know, and the primary foundation of following God or obeying the commandments or all these things is love. It's love. It's not fear. You know, we don't do this because we're afraid, right? We do this and we serve and you know, and all these things because we love. You know, it's a totally different paradigm. You know, and you can imagine, you know, speaking to Roman Christians at this time, right, who in the Jewish system, right, was just, you know, motivated by primarily by fear or tradition. You know, and then you have the Roman, you know, side of it, right? That was, you know, pretty much, you know, motivated by fear, you know, or punishment or the cross or death or imprisonment, you know. And now Paul is coming and he's saying, look, you know, you obey, you follow, you do these things, not because of fear, but because of love, because you love God, you know, and because you love your neighbor, and everything flows out of that. Right? I mean, look at all the commandments that God has given to us, right? It flows out of those two commandments. It's because we love God, right? So we keep the Sabbath day holy. It's because we love God, right? That we don't lift up his name to vanity. You know, it's because, you know, we love God. We have no idols, you know, before us. And flip side is we love our neighbors, so we don't steal from them. We don't murder them. You know, we don't covet. You know, you know what I mean? And so, you know, all these, the commandments, all the things that God gives us, right? The motivation is love. We do these things not because we're afraid, not because of the wrath or enduring punishment that will come. It's because we love God and we love our neighbor. And because we love God and because we love our neighbor, the natural response is not to murder, not to covet, not to bear false witness, you know, to keep the Sabbath day holy, you know what I mean? To you know, do not lift his name up in vain, right? Don't have any idols, right? I mean, all those things flow from this love. And Paul is trying to lay this foundation, you know, before us. And he says, and when you're tempted, you know, to behave in a manner that is not worthy of the righteousness that God has given to us through faith, and he says, put on Christ. You know, and this is an idea that goes way back from the Old Testament, you know, where Job and the other leaders talked about putting on righteousness, you know, and you know, and then Paul will take this theme even further when he talks about, you know, the armor of God. And so he says, when you're in this place and you're tempted to be involved in promiscuity, you know, and in strife and jealousy, you know, he says, put on Christ. You know, it's this armor, right? It's this righteousness. You know, put on Jesus, you know, into our lives, right? You know, Galatians chapter 14, verse 14 says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust, right? Job 29, Galatians 3, 27 talks about this, putting on Jesus or putting on righteousness in our life. You know, and it's like clothing for us. Right, and you think about, you know, well, I mean, it's a good thing we all, you know, wore clothes today, right? Or it'd be a pretty funny day if we didn't, you know. And you put clothes on, and what happens when you put the clothes on, right? And you know, it feels good, right? And it's nice and soft, hopefully, It covers you. It keeps you warm. It protects you from the elements, you know. And in that same way, that's what Paul is saying, right? You know, don't try to fight bare and naked. Put on Christ. It protects you from the elements. It protects you from temptation, right? It keeps your skin, you know, away from the harmful rays of the sun, right? Or the bitterness of the, you know, of the wind and whatnot. And you know, it's like clothing that we put on. And you know, and if you, you know, if you have a nice, like you're, if you had a time where you're like chilly, you're cold, or you know, maybe you're at a restaurant or something, and then you put your jacket on, and it just feels so good, doesn't it? You know, it just feels so right, you know, especially like when you're on an airplane, right? It's so cold in the plane, and the stewardess gives you, you know, a blanket, and you put the blanket over you, and then, like, everything is back to normal, you know? You're not stressing out about the air conditioner, the conditions anymore. You know, you've come to a place of peace. And he's saying in the same way, put on Christ, you know? Let it be like this warm blanket over us that protects us, right, that keeps us warm. You know, that keeps us from thinking about, you know, the weather, you know, all these things that could really keep us in a spiral and preoccupy us. Put on Christ in our life. You know, and again, you know, Paul will talk later on about the armor of God, and he'll begin to display the different types of what it means to put Christ on us. You know, and so he ends this way, and then, you know, we'll continue the thought in chapter 14. So let's close our eyes today. And let me just ask you one question, right, to meditate on. In this way that we're living our life right now, are you battling on your own? In other words, right, is it primarily operating out of your own effort, your own will, your own strength? And that's like being naked. Or have you put on Christ in your life? Have you put on Jesus? And now we're covered by him. As Yvaine leads us in a song, I just want to encourage you just to meditate on that as you go before the Lord.
Jesus, I surrender all to him. I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence. Holy Spirit truly know that thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender all. Oh, to thee.
Let's pray this morning. Let's go before the Lord and let's put on Christ. Let's put on His character. Let's put on His love. Let's put on His acceptance and His grace for us. Let's put Jesus on us right now. Right, that we don't fight this fight on our own, but before the Lord. Let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray for our community to put on Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community that's in need. Let's pray for all the relatives and family that are dealing with cancer. Let's continue to pray for those that are going through chemotherapy. You know, let's really thank God for the little girl Lizzie, as her tumor has completely disappeared. But there are still some cancer cells that need to be removed today. And so let's pray for her surgery. Let's lift up our family that are going through chemo. You know, and you can look on the list. And let's just ask the Lord just to continue to move upon these people. And then that healing word would come. You know, we're starting to see, you know, some of these people get well, right? And let's just continue to press in prayer for them. Let's pray. Let's pray for our family members that are sick, but even more importantly, that need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? Let's pray for Krista's aunt, Bonnie's grandfather, Rachel's uncle and great aunt, and Vivian's grandfather. Let's continue to lift them up. Pray for those that are sick through a stroke or allergies. And let's pray for our friends that are still looking for work. Let's just lift them up to the Lord and ask God to provide for them. Let's pray. Let's go to our mission prayer focus, and let's pray for Kenny in Japan. Pray for Rachel in Thailand, and let's pray for Chris and the persecuted church in North Korea. And let's ask God's hand to be with our friends ministering there and these nations, that, you know, that truly God would move, blow His wind upon these countries. So let's lift up. Let's pray for our church ministry. So let's lift up Noah's Ark, the nursery, SP, youth and men's and women's ministries. So let's ask God to continue to bless our kids, lift up the leaders. You know, pray for just the hand of God to continue to be extended. You know, as we pray for our kids, let's remember all the new moms, you know, that just had babies. Let's lift up all of our pregnant women right now. I'll give you the list. Bernice, Jacinta, Jazz, Jisun, Leanne, Sophia Lee, Joy, and Sarah. Right, let's ask God to continue to bless them, bless the babies in the womb, and just lift up our kids before the Lord and our men's and women's ministries as well. Let's pray. Let's pray for our house churches meeting tonight. Let's pray for Conduit Road and Kennedy and PPHV. Let's pray for God's hand to be with each of the leaders and the house churches, and, you know, really that really true community, right, and real care for one another, love would really flow throughout this time. So let's lift up. Father, we thank you. God, we bless you this morning, Lord. We thank you, God, for all the authorities, God, that you placed in our lives, Lord. And help us to be faithful, to be obedient, God, to subject ourselves, Lord, God, to one another in love, God. And we pray, Lord, that we know that you're doing a work in our lives, God, in this area, in this issue of authority, God, that many of us have. And we have such an independent spirit, God. And Lord, we ask for forgiveness, Lord, and Lord, for our hubris, our pride, God, and thinking that we could do better, we know more, Lord. And Lord, we just want to humble ourselves individually, God, and as a body, Lord, and pray for our leaders, God. Pray for those in authority over us, Lord, because you put them there, God. You have a purpose and a plan in that, Lord. And so we say, God, that you would use them powerfully, Father. We thank you, Lord. Watch over us the rest of this day, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great, great day today, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.